welcome to this special edition of We the People, coming to you from Mumbai. Mumbai is a city that is confronting its self-image and reviewing it today. This is a city where I've often heard, as somebody who lives in Delhi, that this is a city that's much safer for women. But does that still hold? There are well-known commentators in this city, and we'll be talking to some of them. Shobha Day, for example, who said maximum city is now Besharam city. Get past the myth that Mumbai is safer for women. Beyond the argument of one city versus the other, the question remains for all of us as women. How many times will our dreams be blighted by those who stand in the way with sexual abuse? How many times will the solution that's offered to us be part of the problem? Which, for example, in this instance, is the state's home minister talking about women journalists seeking extra protection on assignments? Doesn't that take away our freedom to compete? How many times will we be told that where we went, who we met, and the clothes we wore were part of the problem? That is the question facing India today. That from Delhi to Mumbai, remember those mammoth protests after that gang rape? That girl was 23. This young girl is 22. This is the story of you and me. It's every woman's battle. Is this a battle we're losing? That's the cynical question, but the real question we're asking on the program today. I'd like to start with Priya Dutt. The fact of the matter is that we have seen very well-meaning generic statements from all politicians. Yet, we have seen quite quickly the politicization of even this rape in the state. We have seen parties getting into a really dismal tutu meme. We have seen this debate being framed in terms of outsiders versus insiders, which I think is actually abhorrent. And we have seen Parliament and our legislative assemblies continue to accept MLAs and MPs who are actually facing charges of rape. Do you feel helpless today as a parliamentarian? I know as a woman you're committed to this cause. You've often been outspoken.
I do, because we are supposed to be role models for a lot of youth in this country. And today when you see what is happening in Parliament, I think we all who really want to make a difference and who are there to make a difference do feel ashamed. There can be so much that can be done for society from where we are. But somewhere or the other, we are not able to do it. Where politicizing some issues like this is a concern, I think it is really, really terrible. When we keep passing the buck, that it's your fault, it's that party, it's this party, it's you, it's the police. That is not the solution. It has to be a collective effort. It has to be a collective discussion.
So you're saying
we're all
part of the problem and we're all part of the solution. But Shobha Day, writing today, you said this is now a Besharam city. It's a myth that Mumbai is safer for women. Statistically, actually, Mumbai still performs better compared to some other metros. But the fact of the matter is that there has been a 45% increase in sexual harassment cases in the last year, a 5% increase in rape cases in the last year, and by some accounts, an 80% increase in rape cases since 2002. That's the kind of curve of change that we are looking at. But you have also said simultaneously in your other writings that the response can't be to tell your daughters, don't go out here, don't go out so late. It was really disappointing to hear young women of Mumbai yesterday saying, I'm not going to go out after 8 p.m. We're letting the rapists win, aren't we?
Well, what's happening, Barkha, is that Mumbai has now become a monster city. It's full of desperados. They have nothing to lose. They're not afraid of the law. We are a rudderless, headless, leaderless city and state as of now. 10 years ago, things were a little different. I've been a working journalist for over 40 years. I've worked at all hours, at all times, and never ever felt threatened. Today, what we're seeing are slashers and flashers and people who attack women on our trains, the lifeline of the city. We see people attacking women in public, in broad daylight, as it happened with this young girl. But what we are forgetting is that the history of Mumbai is also not all that fantastic. Mm. What about the rape that took place by a cop in a cop station in Marine Drive?
Yeah.
Who remembers that anymore? Yeah. I mean, what can be more degrading than the police themselves being a part of the problem?
Yeah.
But to blame the police alone is not fair. Our cops are wonderful. They're overworked. I wish they had better things to do with their time than, as Shaina and I were talking earlier, than VVIP security. And they just are not able to cope with the city's problems, they can't be everywhere at all times.
Which is why it's actually ridiculous for R.R. Patil to say that women journalists should take protection.
No, but that's offensive, that kind of condescending. Because A, you're creating a ghetto, you're creating a category, saying somehow that women journalists are more privileged. What about all these young girls sitting right here?
Yeah.
You mean they don't deserve protection and we are some special breed?
Yeah.
No, thank you. I tweeted about it. And I said, I'm willing and happy to protect you, sir, if you need it. And, you know, you can keep your protection to yourself.
Protect him from a statement.
Yes, really. And that maybe he needs to go to a gender sensitization program. That's what I said in my tweet.
Yeah.
But this is what we've reduced Mumbai to. And these young men are to talk about migrants. The city has always been driven by migrants. It's a city that was created by people who came to Mumbai. Women from across India who came to Mumbai because they felt it was a city that would protect them, where they had opportunity, where they would succeed. You know, it pains me as a Mumbaiker to see what we have allowed Mumbai to become. We have surrendered it to gundas.
And yet, Farhan Akhtar, isn't it now becoming true that every time a horror of the kind that we've just seen unfolds, we all get really angry. Some of us get anxious. Some of us say, please don't get anxious because you're letting the rapists win. And then there is a deep-seated institutionalized cultural sexism. It's there in the police, but it's also there in society. It's there in even the subliminal whispers today that are saying, what was this photojournalist doing at an abandoned mill anyway? I mean, what rubbish. Now, you have started an organization called Mard, which is really about putting a question mark over the kind of bizarre machismo that some men see, especially in acts of gang rape, where there's almost a bonding happening over rape.
Yeah.
Do you feel any sense of hope at all?
What we are also seeing is some kind of mutation effect of a patriarchal mindset.
Yeah.
You know, where you feel a sense of power over when you can dominate the other gender.
Yeah.
And I think the only way to deal with it, of course, there has to be an element of fear. Now, whatever that fear is,
what will bring it? The law now allows for death penalty, even, for example. I don't even know if that's changing anything.
I don't know if it still allows it.
The law does now say in extreme cases where death or vegetative, where the girl dies or is left in a vegetative condition.
We have people who've been arrested for example, for the Nirbhaya case. It's been 8 months. What is the progress that's happening? How many years will it take? Who knows?
Do you see a pattern here that whether it was Delhi or whether it was Mumbai, the young man in both cases, a friend or a colleague accompanying the girl, is also made part of that humiliation. Men who are trying to stand up are actually being crushed by other men.
No, they would be.
Violence.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and it's really unfortunate for everybody involved. But I think we should focus more right now on what the solutions are.
Yeah.
So dealing with, I think, a certain element of how do we instill a respect for law, a fear in the mind of a potential offender, that if I'm caught, that I definitely will be in jail or face the death penalty or whatever it may be, depending on the nature of my crime, within a set frame of time, which is one. And the second thing is through education, where we have to educate young boys and young girls to start thinking of each other as equally, because at times parents don't teach their girls to think equally like, or they don't treat their girls equally like their boys. So it's a problem even at home.
Yeah.
So I think education and a certain sense of instilling respect of law, fear of law into people is a must. And I think that's where probably the police department really comes in. I mean, we constantly pick on them when there's a one-off case of something going wrong.
Yeah.
There's 100 things that they do right. And I completely agree that they are tremendously overworked. Hmm. Not that that's an excuse for the rape that happened at the Chowk in Marine Drive. But the fact remains that there has to be introspection on all fronts. So whether it's the police department, the political class.
Or how we bring up our daughters and
absolutely,
our sons.
Or at home.
Priya, sorry, what are you saying? And then just coming to you, Sharia.
No, I agree 100%. I think there are three ways we have to tackle this is, you know, through social reforms as well. When we talk about police reforms, judicial reforms, we also have to look at social reforms, which is really dealing with our society. I read in your NDTV news that there was a mother who actually got her 16-year-old daughter married to a 36-year-old man and tied her hands while he raped her. Now, what do you say to that?
And this reminds me of a statistic that 90% of rapists are known to the woman.
Yes.
In the case of child sexual abuse, 50% are known, are people you know. There's a problem inside our homes.
There was a 1,000 crore Nirbhaya fund that had been announced.
Yeah.
Not one rupee of that fund has been disbursed.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about?
And this is the CAG has highlighted.
No is interested in implementing his rape laws because half of them will be in jail and they will face the death penalty. So it is... So if you're talking about a mindset, that then we're talking about half a century down the line. Are we going to wait for half a century for our minds to change, for our kids to be taught that there should be gender equality? These are givens. We know that. And that can come through education, yes. But now, what do we do?
I think very important point raised about politicians, Shaina, that don't agree on anything else. Agreeing, for example, to change the fact that RTI should not cover political parties. They agree to change the fact that those who are actually facing criminal charges or convictions even should not be allowed to contest elections. Now, just to give you a figure. In the 2009 elections, Shaina, six candidates were facing rape charges. In the assembly elections over the last 5 years, 27 candidates were given tickets who were facing rape charges. If you look at crimes against women, 34 candidates facing charges of crimes against women, which include assault, in the Lok Sabha elections alone. Yet, in Parliament, we're seeing political unanimity to not debar these people. And in Maharashtra, we're seeing a shameful politicization. You have parties talking in terms of insider versus outsider. There's a 22-year-old who's sitting on drips watching all this. I mean, isn't it a mockery for you all to be fighting and framing it in these terms right now?
Absolutely, but I think Barkha...
But your allies are doing it. The Shiv Sena is doing
this. I don't need
this.
To protect my allies. My allies can think what they want. I need to speak about what is right.
Yeah.
And what is right today is that through right to information itself, one figures that in a city like Mumbai, you have one rape every single day. Now, if you go into the history of all the various rapes in Mumbai, a girl is raped in her own house in Worli through a pizza man. The police does nothing.
Yeah.
Keenan Rubin's case, we talk about a bystander. The beat constable is not present to pick up the phone.
But sit there also and stare and do absolutely nothing.
Absolutely. But there are so many cases. A 1.5-year-old child was raped and molested in Kolhapur. What do you say to that? Unless there is fear of law. Look at the Gulf countries. Nobody dare do this. Do they not have perverse?
But they also don't have democracy and get stoned to death in some parts.
Absolutely.
We don't want to be that.
No, we don't want to be that. But the point is we have to be scared and be told that there is going to be a conviction rate. The conviction rate in Maharashtra is so low. The prosecution comes up with no witness. Despite fast-track courts, after 1 year, we have so many pending cases vis-a-vis rape. It has to be a holistic solution, which includes political sensitivity for sure, political will compiled with that, and of course, the police being proactive in not just registering a case, but making sure that the prosecution has enough witness. Otherwise, you're going to see these perpetrators of crime continue to do what they're doing.
Here's my worry, that we say this every time, Pooja. We say this every time. We say change the mindset. We say make the police gender sensitive. We say get a new law. Now we have a new law.
Yeah, but when we talk about gender sensitization, I think that, you know, we're looking at a country which worships the female goddess and wants a male heir. You're talking about your scriptures that tell you that until the firstborn male does not light the funeral pyre, the soul is not going to attain mukti. So what are we talking about, the sensitization of a home minister? This is deep-rooted in India. This is not only Mumbai's problem or Delhi's problem. This is the darkest hour India is facing with regards to violence against women. Rape is nothing more than an extreme form of violence. And somehow women have been made to believe that violence in some form is part of your lot, honey. Deal with it when your husband beats you up. Deal with it when your boyfriend treats you badly. Deal with it if somebody pinches you. Yeah. And we're supposed to look the other way. I got phone calls 1 month after the Nirbhaya case at 3 in the morning. Somebody was making lewd calls to me. I called 103. There was a woman on the phone who told me, "Oh, you're Pooja Bhatt? Go to the police station right now and make a complaint." I said, "It's 3 a.m. I am Pooja Bhatt and I am anxious.
Yeah.
I feel vulnerable." Yeah. Luckily, I called 102. There was a man there who had some empathy in his voice. So it's not about men or women. I think what we've lost as a nation is empathy. We have no empathy towards women, towards an animal, towards each other.
Farhan, come in there and then I'll just get my Emin Singh and Anand Grover. You said that there was a delayed reaction, that if this mill was actually a den of drug addicts and so on, why wasn't something done? I'm asking a deeper question. Can the police be everywhere all of the time? I'm not trying to give the police an easy time, and Mr. Singh knows that. But I'm just asking a counter question. What is the solution? And what Pooja said is so important, that we are so brutalized that growing up as women in this country, you learn to tell yourself, hey, it was just my bottom that was pinched. At least I wasn't raped.
Exactly.
That's how we talk to ourselves. And I'm including myself. And we are women of privilege and empowerment compared to so many others who don't even have recourse.
Barkha, what's frightening is that for every rape reported, there are a million that go unreported.
Yeah.
Why? Because we are meant to feel shame. We have been violated, and then the families tell us, but don't talk about this because nobody would marry you.
Or the neighbors will say
something or not say something.
Absolutely.
I have been a victim of domestic abuse. I was in a relationship with an alcoholic who beat me up. When I spoke about it, my colleagues, very forward, said, please don't air your dirty laundry in public. I said, I'm speaking up because if it can happen to me, it will happen to all of you girls.
Yeah.
And you need to know that if somebody violates you, speak up.
And is that part of the problem, that we need to transfer our anger? I don't know. We have stupid phrases like Eve teasing. I don't even know what this phrase means and when it's going to go off the statutes.
I know the thing is that there's a stigma attached to everything. I mean, if something happens to a woman, more often than not, it's her who has to relive a certain...
The focus is on the victim,
absolutely,
or the survivor.
It's always on her.
Yeah.
Or the kind of clothes maybe that she wore. Why was she out with guys at so-and-so time? What was she doing in the mill, for example?
Yeah.
There was so much talk about people saying this area was a den of drug addicts and drug dealers and notorious characters.
Yeah.
Now, if this is public knowledge,
why hasn't somebody done something about it?
Yeah. Instead of questioning, why did she go there? Either it should be a closed mill, so nobody should be allowed in. Or then if people are allowed in, why are people being allowed in when you know that there are nefarious elements?
Emin Singh, is this a serious question for the police today? That, you know, a young photojournalist said to me, why are you gendering the debate? It is also about law and order. It is also about accountability. And what citizens today, men and women, and it's important to not treat this as a women's issue. You know, that's the easiest way of marginalizing it, even in the media. Men and women today are saying that the system is impotent and the rapists are feeling that they have all the impunity to do whatever they want to with. Is this a valid question raised by Farhan? That if everybody knows that this is such an unsafe area, why do you have an unsafe public space right in the heart of Mumbai?
Well, yes, Barkha, it is as much a law and order problem as a social problem. We look at women as an object of sex and pleasure. We don't treat them equally. And that is where the problem really begins.
But why can't we trust the police, sir?
Police comes from the same society. They are no different. There was a case in Mumbai a couple of years ago. A policeman raped a girl in the police chowki and the Marine Drive. Now, you look at it just as a police problem. It is. But it is a larger social issue. You have to address the social issue as much as the police issue. Police is not the custodian of the morals of the society.
This is not about morality.
You will always.
In fact, my problem with Mumbai is that this is the one city where so much energy is spent on moral policing instead of real policing.
Yeah, that's what I was
coming to. There's so much talk about bar dance girls and mannequins.
That's what I was coming to.
It's ridiculous.
That you will always raise this issue or the bogey of moral policing. So the police have now learnt that this far and no further. The police comes in the play. As far as punishing the criminal is concerned, keeping control over the criminal elements, the lumpen elements is concerned, yes, they have a responsibility, they are accountable. If there is an area which is visited by the criminal elements and drug addicts and all that, it is the job of the police to visit those places, check those people and take appropriate preventive actions.
I just wanted to tell Mr. Singh that what we are shying away from addressing about the police and the relationship with the city is that the police are working for political parties. This was not the case in Mumbai. We had a fabulous police force right up there with Scotland Yard. The world would come here and be trained by our cops. They were independent. Today they work as stooges of their political bosses, who decide on their appointments, who decide which person is in which thana to that extent.
Well,
so if that kind of a nexus continues, how can the police function independently?
I will not contradict Shobha Day. Let me make it very plain.
That's candid.
Thank you, sir.
But then, there are two political personalities sitting here. They have to answer this question. It is,
and we will make them answer.
If there is a misuse of the police powers, you know the case of UP where an IS officer tried to do something.
Yeah, Durga
and
Shakti.
She was placed under suspension.
Yeah.
She's just
a
beginner in the service.
Okay, Anand Grover, this is the problem, that every institution is either politicized or is sexist anyway. So the combination leaves no room to breathe for those of our gender.
There has been a complete breakdown of our institutions and, moreover, criminalization of our institutions. Over the last 10, 20 years, because of the way economy has developed, you have lumpenization. There are lumpen elements who have nothing to do. And these are the people who are the fodder for the political parties when riots occur. And these are the criminals. You know, they are actually not scared of the police because they have links with the police. And they have links. These are the institutional problem. Secondly, Saudi Arabia is not a good example. Not because, I'm sorry, I mean, the BJP doesn't want to follow Muslim laws. I don't know why she's advocating that. But in any event...
It's not a question of...
She'll say yeah, China well, then, so
yeah,
be careful.
I'm going to go to China.
Okay, no. Anyway, you're a secular person, I imagine. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, but let me say that in Saudi Arabia, you don't know what the data is.
Yeah.
Don't think yeah. that it's free of violence.
Jaya Bachchan on my program said, leave it to the city. Are you worried about that? But that is the extent of cynicism among people
happening. I'll tell you what. In the Supreme Court also, there has been sexual harassment within the court.
Yeah.
Some of the women lawyers and male lawyers got together and we got a sexual harassment in the Supreme Court put in place. I was advocating, like Farhan, that we must educate our own brethren and sistren. What should be the code of conduct? Now that's been given a go-by. We don't want to change our attitudes.
We have judges who have asked rapists to marry the women they have
raped. No, not only that. I'll tell you another example. Yeah. From last week in the Supreme Court, a judge asked a lawyer, is your client present? And the lawyer turned around. This is a rape survivor, a lawyer herself. Yeah. She's here. And the whole court looked at her, which is not permissible in law. So where is the sensitization? It's an institutional breakdown.
But has there been a failing in political response? Before I take that back to both Priya and Shaina, remember, our headlines tend to fade very fast. But remember, there was a young girl called Pallavi Purkayas, actually associated with Farhan's company as well.
Yes.
And she was raped and murdered by the watchman in her building, who snapped off the electricity and went into her flat with a knife. These are the people who are meant to protect us. Her mother, Sumita, is with us here. I think amazingly brave to come out at a moment where this kind of loss can never be reconciled to. And in all these cases of assault on young women, I know you must be thinking of your daughter.
Yes, I'm thinking of my daughter. I'm thinking of the many other daughters. But unfortunately, in my case, my daughter did not live to tell the tale. I would just disagree a little with Barka that she was not sexually raped. She gave her life to save her honor. There has been no rape established, and Mr. Grover will understand that this charge was not sustained. The court did not agree. They said that this.
She fought back against the rape. Yes.
And because she did not allow the lust to happen, she gave up her life. We lost a promising young life to a parasite of society just because she did not give in to her lust. And I quite agree with what Shobha Day says, that the city is filled with desperados. And I again agree with what Farhan has said, that because there is no fear of the law. Sir, with all due respect, you may say that Shaina says that Saudi Arabia is not a good example, but there are many beautiful women in Saudi Arabia who are also coming to the fore.
Can I ask you something?
Why don't we have so many rape cases? Forget the data. In India also, there is no covered data. Why? Because there is a fear of the law. We may not stone them to death, but we must have the deterrent, the fear of the law, the brutal punishment, so that, you know, when a life is lost, nobody has the right to take a life.
Can I ask you something, though? You said that she fought back hard and that is actually how she got killed. But I want to ask you as a mother, do you think it's time to stop calling these girls who are so brave victims, that we have to call them survivors, we have to call them warriors? They're actually warriors in a sense.
You call them what you want. But I would just like to make the plea that the life has gone. You call them martyrs, you call them warriors, you call them survivors. They are not survivors anymore. You call them what you want. Nirbhaya was one of the cases. My daughter was one of the cases. Whatever you call them, but I would just plead for one thing, that such battles should not go unanswered. And democracy, freedom, all these have no meaning if you do not have justice. Justice delayed is justice denied. You have the case running for 10 years and then the person languishes in jail.
And Pallavi's case is still dragging on?
It's dragging on. And whatever happens, if it doesn't come quickly, public memory is short. It will not link and the desperados will rise because there will be no more fear of the law.
Now, this is a mother speaking, and I know Farhan knew Pallavi closely, but Anand, I'll let you come in there.
Well, you know, I think we can't compare ourselves to Saudi Arabia at all. we are an economy like a...
But it's a way of saying that we feel our system doesn't work. Let's not be literal about it.
There is a reason, according to me, where there's a whole breakdown of institutions coupled with how the economy is going. There are so many unemployed people. It's very akin to Brazil and South Africa. Do you know in Johannesburg or Sao Paulo and Rio de Janeiro, you can't walk in certain areas. In India, that never happened. For the first time, rape is occurring by strangers. Now, in Saudi Arabia, the economy is more or less stable. People are all looked after. Here, you have so much unemployment. Please see.
But isn't there creating economic rationalizations for rape?
No, no. There's not a justification. We have to address
all things. I'm calling it a rationalization, not a justification.
We have to address these things. If we don't address it, we will have more unsafe spaces.
I do not quite agree
with this proposition.
Yeah.
You see, there are only two reasons for all this, what is happening in society. One is the typical male psyche in our country, which does not treat women equally and fairly. And the other is the complete failure of the criminal justice system in India. Now, we may not adopt the Saudi Arabia model. As the lady says, if the justice system does not punish the criminals, then there will be many, many more rapes, many more murders like this will keep happening. We will keep debating. There has to be a drastic change in the criminal justice system.
Rule by fear. Like, you know, there's such panic in our city today, Barkha, as you rightly mentioned, that their girls are saying we don't want to go out after 8 o'clock.
Can I take a poll here? Just to interrupt you for a second, I just want to get a sense of the feeling in the city today. Young women here today who would come back home earlier than you used to, who feel you're going to think again before stepping out late or into a place or getting into a cab at night, just coming back from work, raise your hand. People are going to think again. I'm happy to say that not too many hands are going up, but I first want to ask you, you mean you are now today much more scared than you were before?
Absolutely, because I don't know when I'm going. I come by local trains. If local trains, which are so necessary for us to travel, are not safe, what am I supposed to do? I'm 17. I won't get help from anywhere. I'll be, you know, my name will be tarnished. What do I do?
Why do you feel your name will be tarnished? I find this a significant thing.
See, my parents are really, you know, broad-minded and all of that. But the rest of my family isn't. We're still in India, you know. People will always tell me that maybe you did something, you know, maybe you did something wrong.
So we're still stigmatizing the person who's under attack instead of the perpetrator. But I'm heartened to see that not too many hands went up when I said how many people will change their lives. Those who will not let this incident change your life, raise your hand. Those who will not let this incident change. That is great. You will not let your life change?
I will not. But I'd also like to point out, not many people will come out to help. This is a big question.
But why?
Why? Why are we not moving on to help others in distress at time of call?
There should be women constables traveling in our trains. They're just simply not there. So who's accountable for that?
But
by ruling by fear, I'm sorry, I don't agree that we should. I've even heard people say we should castrate them chemically. Yeah. Or we should give them a death penalty.
People are supporting you when you're saying that.
We're going back to barbaric times.
What do you do about somebody's mind?
You know, barbaric times.
Pooja. Yeah.
Castration is not a solution.
It's not a solution.
What do you do to somebody's
demonic
sick mind?
Yeah.
Your castration should happen inside their head, not in their genitals.
Yeah,
I mean, it would be nice. I mean, I remember recently reading in the paper about this constable called Constable Kuldeep, who saved a lot of people in a train. He locked the door and beat up some people who were trying to rob or molest someone.
Yeah.
I don't know why that person is not spoken of more as a hero.
Yeah.
Why the state has not honored him with something, given him a huge reward, so that would maybe inspire other constables and other people to say that if I was ever in a situation like this and if I helped out, you know, I could win.
But today you hear Pallavi's mom, and I know you knew Pallavi. I mean, she's saying, you know, I don't care. This is all your politically correct thing. Call them a survivor, call them a martyr. My daughter's dead.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what to say to that, because suddenly the focus on language seems so irrelevant to a mother who's actually dealing with this.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Now, a number of people are saying that there are jobs in this city, Farhan, where women do go back alone. Forget even if they want jobs. If I want to go out to a bar and have a drink at 1 in the morning and come back at 1 in the morning, but police will respond by saying, let's close down all the bars at 1. This is happening in Delhi also. Or let's close down all the pubs.
You'll probably get arrested for drinking with your friends inside.
Yeah.
Women's lives in India, not just Mumbai, not just Delhi, not just in our metros, are dispensable. We put zero value. They're undervalued. Their lives are less than the price of 1 kilo of onions. That's how dispensable we have become. So what are we talking about? You're talking about sensitization. Where do you start? And why are the cops doing what they're doing? Why are the those elements, those antisocials doing what they're doing? Because they know most of the time the cops can even pick these guys up out of nowhere. They have nothing to lose. Frame charges against them. They know they'll be out on bail 2 months later.
Yeah.
And they'll be back on the streets doing what they've always done. So unless we change the system from within and make this these fast track courts so that justice can be seen to be done quickly, not where they have these.
But you know, we don't even have charges. A consensus right
how do
now.
Do you even know that those men who've been picked up for this particular rape are really the men who did it? That
you, you feel skeptical? Do you feel
that's
skeptical? There are three arrests.
The cynicism in this city is because the cops had to prove something to their political bosses. They can catch hold of any of those guys in those slums and say, now you beat them to pulp and say, you have to confess.
Let's take this to the politicians. Priya, the fact is that politicization of the police is a reality everywhere, not just in Mumbai. The politicization of all institutions is a reality everywhere. I remember your coming on when the Delhi gang rape happened and say, I want Parliament to look at marital rape.
Definitely.
Refuse to. Again, consensus.
I want to bring this out because I think it's a very good question as to the mindsets. And when you talk about Parliament and you talk about the representation in Parliament, it represents India. From the smallest little village, smallest little town in India. I think everybody's mindset is not someone representing Mumbai city, Delhi. You very rightly said that what is the value of a woman in the remotest parts of India? How does a man look at her as a woman? It could be your wife, it could be your sister, it could be your daughter. You know, for him, if it's the daughter, she must be married by she's 16.
Yeah.
Okay, if it's the wife, she has to be sitting at home and producing children or doing
and also
the housework.
Labels. I mean, so can't we be people beyond wives, sisters, daughters?
Exactly. Everything is a mindset. Everything is a reflection of our society, even if it is Parliament. Even if it is upper.
But
police.
Then what is the hope? Because we say police is drawn from the same society, Parliament is drawn from the same society. How will anything change?
That at least we, who are the empowered women, the empowered society, the educated society, we have to make a difference.
And yet Shaina, a Shiv Sena MLA who's now resigned after media pressure, tells a toll booth employee, the women in my family will strip off your clothes.
Exactly.
Why? It doesn't want to be 30 rupees.
In Mumbai.
There is nobody
the idiom of politics is so sexist.
It's disgusting. It's condemnable totally. But Barkha, coming back to the other point I wanted to make, don't forget it's in this city of Mumbai that even a woman constable was manhandled outside Azad Maidan. So we're talking about having women constables protect us.
But that incident also was terribly politicized.
Absolutely.
The problem is in the city, everything gets communalized and politicized.
You have a home minister who talks about giving women journalists protection. You have the same home minister who has resigned because of his multiple comments and he comes back. I want to ask the audience here, do you feel safe with this home minister? Does the public of Mumbai have any faith in the political class?
But if you change
today,
the Home Minister, would Mumbai
the
become
point
safer?
Is not
my
that.
My problem with R.R. Patil. Yeah.
The point is that my colleague Dino Moria woke up one morning at 5 a.m. and he had a man standing above him. He stole all his stuff from his house. The same man crawls into the house of a Spanish tourist three days later and rapes her. My building, which has got English speaking. Educated people refuse to allow me to put a CC camera, which I am paying for, because I say it's not the police's job to be in every lane. Have to aid the police. We have to take responsibility. It doesn't matter who my home minister is, whether he's a dimwit or whether
he's
great.
It's not a question about that.
We have to take responsibility.
The question is not about that. The question is today you're telling the bystanders to go and stand up for women. Who is going to stand up for them when the beat constable?
You know,
we need the police to.
You have every right to raise questions about the competence of the home minister, but my real problem with R.R. Patil is the amount of energy he will spend on bar dance girls while doing no actual policing. Priya, I mean,
moral policing is just not acceptable.
Why can't bar dancers work? Because women should.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I'm agreeing with you.
You've been hiring me innumerable amount of times that Pooja, but you have no business talking about women's rights and violence. You've brought Sunny Leone to India. I've heard this all the time from very educated people. And your desperados are not only in the by lanes, they are wearing
suits. They're everywhere.
They are well heeled. They're in your five-star hotels and your boardrooms.
parliament.
Priya, let me point, and then I want to take a few questions. Priya,
No, I completely agree. Politics set aside. I think this is an issue which has to have a collective response.
But it doesn't.
Then I don't think you'll find solutions. If you're going to just constantly say that one should resign, this
nobody
one should resign.
Nobody's saying that. Where is the solution? Political the solution where there is a strong government, you will see action.
Today, a person is dying on the street.
Yeah.
There will no one who will be there to help him.
Yeah.
And this incident has happened on Rabandra Reclamation with a hit and run when that young boy died.
Yeah.
Because nobody picked him up from there.
Or Keenan and Rubin.
Or Keenan and Rubin for that matter.
But that's an example I'm trying to cite.
The reason they're not picking up people from the street, the reason they're not intervening is because what they say, police ke lafde mein hamein nahi padna hai. Wo chakkar mein hamein nahi padna hai. It's not that the Mumbaikar is heartless. You've seen it time and again how they've risen to the occasion and helped other Mumbaikars and other people from all over India. They've lost faith in the administration of this
city. I'm not
city.
Talking about Mumbaikars.
Would you pause to
they
consider...
They don't want to get involved
if you,
with the police.
If you were that person driving past, would you stop? Would I stop?
There is I definitely would stop. But what Shobha is saying is absolutely true, because the fact is that if you are a witness in a case, it is so torturous the way you are spoken to. Firstly, you are treated like a criminal from being a witness.
Yeah.
Exactly. The way you are spoken to in a police station, the way you are spoken to when you go to court. I've been a witness in a case. What the details are, it's not important.
Yeah.
And it is really a very frustrating experience. And you eventually do feel for a second that why would I want to get involved in something like this again?
Yeah.
And that's where apathy starts creeping in.
Let's take a question.
After the Delhi gang rape, you know, I really thought that with so much of protest, probably this is the time when we've risen and nothing of this sort is going to happen again. But the fact is, when we go out tomorrow to work, come back late from work, there's this pulse of fear in the girls, generally in the society. It's because our systems have failed us again and again, and these criminals are absolutely fearless. I'm not blaming it on a particular individual or a system. I need solution now. I want Bombay to be safe again. And why only Bombay? I want Delhi, I want Bhopal, I want every city of Uttar Pradesh also to be safe.
Absolutely. I think everyone agrees with what you said. Let's hear from somebody else who's actually seen this happen in their family. We spoke about Pallavi. There was a young girl called Soumya Vishwanathan. She was a journalist. She was driving back home from work after finishing a night shift. And she paid with her life. Her sister Shubha is with us now. I mean, I feel that these stories in some ways are not stories. They are tragedies that mirror each other. You know, you can see one person's life overlapping into another's. So you hear about this girl, a photojournalist, very close to the bone. What happened with Soumya?
I agree, but very honestly, every time any incident happens, we go back and we relive every moment. As a family, we had actually at that time, and this is very relevant to everybody, you think, what can I do? Can I take revenge? Can I just take a gun out and kill the people? And then you say, no, I'm more civilized. I need to believe in institutions like police, media, judiciary. It's been 4.5 years since the trial is going on. We've been given to understand that it's happening extremely well. It's going on. Till now, there's no verdict out. And this is just in the lower courts. So we still believe in the system. We are ready to be patient. But then at some point, there is cynicism.
I can see Sumita nodding in agreement with what you're feeling.
At some point, we will say, it's okay. We don't want to believe in this institution anymore. Is that what we want India to go towards? Somebody said there, let me take care of myself. Let me get a license gun, roam around here and start killing or shooting people in the knee whenever they come and harm me. Is that what we are leading ourselves
to? So how do you keep your faith in institutions?
Honestly, for us, we were lucky to a certain extent. We had people who were nice to us, even in police. They didn't have tools in their hand, and honestly, I felt very bad for them because I genuinely believe we don't train them, we don't give them equipment, they're just not competent. But their hearts are in the right place. We had a lot of support from media. Even the current people in judiciary are going out of their way and trying to help us. They do hearings.
Yet you've had moments of saying, it's been 5 years almost.
It's right? 5 years.
Sumita, you want to add to that?
You see, 5 years is a long time. And what I'm hearing from all these people is that, you know, the cases are forgotten.
Yeah.
Even if justice is delayed and justice is given after 5 years or 10 years, how does it link to the brutality of the case? unless the retribution is swift, there will be no fear at all. And everybody is saying that you want to sensitize the people. Don't take Saudi Arabia as an example. I can tell you hundreds of places, sir, where women are not scared, not only scared to go into those places, like Johannesburg, you said. In India, people do not go at all to those places. Many places in Delhi, women, what, men also don't go to those places. Dar ke mare. So unless the justice is swift and there is a fear, and what is the fear? Now, if for the desperado, you're going to sensitize them, you can sensitize the lawyers of the Supreme Court. Can you sensitize the desperados? It is the women who are getting scared now.
Yeah. Instead and that is, in fact, the real tragedy. And I want to start taking last comments and solutions.
Radical measures have to be taken to ensure that the system is not only just and fair, but it answers the queries that
What radical measure? Give an example radical, of one radical measure.
I'll tell you. The delays are caused by lawyers, the police and the judges, because they are not prepared. You know how many adjournments the judges, they allow adjournments for the asking. It's tragic, and it's the client.
So would you put a time frame on the trial of a rape case? Would you put a time frame?
There are laws with time frames.
Where?
Attitudes.
5 years?
No, there are laws which say it should be done in 30 days, in 1 year. But it doesn't happen because the system, our system, I'll tell you, I'll give you an example. My father's cousin is ill. I want an adjournment. Adjournment is granted in the Supreme Court. Forget the lower courts.
Yeah. So where does the change begin?
It can begin by the lawyers themselves and the judges.
When can we expect discipline in the system?
When there's accountability, ma'am.
And when can that happen?
Ma'am, do you work with survivors of sexual violence?
I've been working for the last 25 years in the women's movement. I've been working with victims of abuse or survivors of abuse. And it takes place across
classes,
all classes, and in the higher class, it is silent because, you know, of family honor.
Exactly.
In the poor, of course, they'll come out and they'll scream about it. But in the rich upper class, there is silence. There is literally the silence of violence. And that's what continues.
So where does the change begin? Pooja Bhatt.
Since we talk about Saudi Arabia so much, I think it'll be interesting for everyone to know that in the United States of America, every 12.5 minutes, someone dies of a car accident. Yeah. But every 2.5 minutes, somebody gets raped. So the point is that what horrifies me more is when I read details about this gang rape in Mumbai and I find out that the mother of one of the accused actually gave him 2,000 rupees to say, bhaag ja beta, ja ki chup ja. My point is, unless that mother's attitude will not change, nothing is going to change. I am part of the rot. If I do not start with making a change in my own life, walking my talk, living my life where nobody is looking in that manner, there will be no change.
I think that's absolutely well said. Let's take a question.
Why are we alienating the criminals? Aren't they part of our society?
What are you suggesting, that you engage with them?
Engage with them, have funds allocated. Which,
you know, half of Mumbai doesn't come out to vote, my dear.
Yeah.
They light candles, but they don't show up to vote.
Yeah. I think that's... MN Singh, in terms of the police, the fact that even the good cops don't have weapons. You know, I sometimes think of the New York cop. And you see that the cop has respect. And here, actually, while we really lash out at the police, I feel terrible that the constable here, the equivalent, has no respect, no societal respect. There's a psychological battle that the police is losing, isn't it?
The policeman today does not enjoy the total confidence and the respect of the society. There's no denying the facts.
Yeah.
I'm very happy that some people here have spoken very well about the police, like this lady said. If you want the police to perform and to earn back the respect, you free the police of all this unproductive responsibilities which have been heaped in the police force. Let the police force do its core functions of protecting the citizens.
So remove them from VIP duty to start
with. Political interference. Now, Mr. R.R. Patil, I'm sorry, I would not have liked to name him. But then it is not for him to say what the police will be doing, giving protection to individual journalists. It is not a problem of journalists alone. It's a problem of the women community. You need to protect the entire women class.
I'd like to hear from any young journalist here. Anyone here who goes out to work and does not want this protection that R.R. Patil is offering.
No, you need to create a situation where everybody will feel safe.
You're saying you don't want any such protection.
Absolutely not. When it comes to evaluating us, I want to be treated at par with a guy. Don't marginalize me like that. And I mean, a lot of us have been talking about the institution not working. Smoking was banned. How many people do you see on the streets? I'm not trivializing the act, but I'm equating it with the commonality.
Coming back to Mr. R.R. Patil, I think he should stop doing this micromanagement of the police. Let the police chief run his police force. Yeah. And if he fails to deliver, hold him responsible and accountable. Yeah. Punish him. Remove him. Now, Shubha, this is not the way.
Shubha, I agree with you.
I will talk something about the feeling of safety, etc. among the women and all that. I am glad that many felt that they are not feeling...
That they are not going to change their lives. That doesn't mean they are not scared.
Let me tell you, Mumbai is not a city of idlers. Everybody works for his living, including Mr. Tata and Mr. Ambani and Birlas. So this is a city which cannot just idle away its time and live at home fearing. The city goes on. And it is a very resilient society. I don't think that kind of a fear pervades here in our Bombay society. Bombay still is the safest place in the country. I will claim this as an ex-police chief. But I do feel that things have deteriorated a great deal and there is a lot need to be done. Yeah. I will come to the issue of this mindset. Let me tell you, when I was police commissioner of the city, I wanted to start a police station manned by women. It was the women's organization who opposed it. I said, what are you talking?
I personally think this Ministry of Women and Child Development...
Now, there is a mindset. It is not a unidirectional issue.
I agree with you. There is a problem with...
Women's organization. But the Commission of Women. But it's completely different.
But Anand Grover, the Ministry of Women and Child Development, it's really a part of the problem. Absolutely. Not just in underutilizing funds, but it'll always be some woman, it'll always be some token job, it'll never be a man.
How are we to sensitize the masses when your one platform that reaches out to the most people is Bollywood, and Bollywood is constantly normalizing gender inequality and with subtext of sexual violence.
Not my movie.
And violence.
I made the film Tamannaa Naidu. She does not.
Okay, Farhan.
I don't
know
what item in my films. I might make a film with a porn star, but it's a woman who makes a choice.
Nobody is discussing your movies. Nobody is discussing Farhan's movies. It's a problem.
Is there a problem, Farhan?
Yeah, it is.
It was around before Bollywood was born. If there's any consolation.
Okay, but is it a problem?
No, it is. And I actually wrote an article about it recently where the thing is more than the itemization, for example, because that's very obvious in your face and you can choose not to see it. What has happened with romance in Hindi movies?
Yeah.
I think is a big thing.
Beautiful romance.
The kind of almost crossing a certain threshold of decency in the wooing process, which is something actually that young people, where do you get your signals from of how to romance someone? You're going to see popular culture and take it from there. And if your heroes and your idols are behaving in a certain way, including your actresses who are allowing that to happen to them, then I mean it is a bit of...
Priya, you want to add quickly? I have to...
I just want to say that how everything impacts society. I mean, you look at a mobile phone. It's in every single person's hand. You may be the richest person. You may be a panwala. Do you know what content is on that mobile phone? Everybody's on the internet. You have apps which are pornographic.
So there's an explosion. But
there is a complete explosion of exposure in a way to everyone.
Okay, last question.
Ultimately now, you know, rather than depending on men, women generate vote bank politics at various constituencies and have a greater impact in the heart of the politicians who are the ultimate lawmakers of our country. That, you know, we are a major mass and please hear our voice.
Yeah, we're all in more representation.
I'd like to pose this question to Mr. Grover. You talk about the dwindling economy being the reason of the existence of perverts and desperados. But then what about education? Education should be prevalent even in such an economy.
I only said that there is a change. I agree with what everybody has said. Education, sensitization, the patriarchy. But only one. There is a need to change also the police forces working mechanism. And we had proposed, which was rejected by Parliament, that the Verma Committee wanted, as you remember,
many rejections,
all the women's organization. Yeah. One of the things that has happened abroad is that communities are involved in the police and how it investigates and how the judiciary functions.
Very briefly, we had taken a memorandum to the Home Department saying that at least in public transport, which is trains, buses, etc., we must have more constables. Please ensure that you have least VIP security, and there was no revertal on that.
But let all parties agree to give up their VIP security. Let there be unanimity on that.
Absolutely.
Give up the Lal Bakri.
When we take the lead and suggest that on our behalf,
I am saying let the example begin at home. I tell this to every MP, MLA I know. Give up the Lal Bakri
system.
But the most important is a strong government that ensures...
Okay, I'm giving the last word to Shobha. And I want you to answer of this. You said you would not tell your daughters to step out with chili powder in their bags. No pepper sprays, no chili powder.
Absolutely.
Yet what are we meant to do? We have to go back and fight.
Why should the onus be on women? Why should we be in a position, go on the defensive and have to worry about our safety each time we step out? It's our constitutional right. 148% in 5 months, crimes against women and rapes in Maharashtra and Mumbai alone. Yeah. When you look at that statistic, it is indeed terrifying. What we are not acknowledging, there is a state of emergency when it comes to women. Unless we address it with the seriousness with which it deserves, as it is. All of us here, men and women collectively, should ensure that it becomes priority number one, and we press for legislation, we press for stricter laws, so that we don't sit here and just talk platitudes.
What would be really tragic, and I don't want to be there, is 1 month from now, another gang rape, another television program.
It's happening
even as we speak.
As we speak.
What does Mard represent?
No, well, Mard really represents men talking to other men and trying to get them to understand that we have to all start thinking of women very differently from what probably we've been taught. You know, and a lot of us have been taught skewed ideas, and we have to forget that and move on and start thinking of women differently. But I also must say that it's very, very important that every establishment really must introspect and clean up their own house. Yeah. So whether it's the political class, whether it's the police,
or all of us in our homes.
Yeah, or us at homes. It's
I think talking in that context, the charity begins at home. Yes. So begin from the film industry. I think there is a lot
I'm
that you can
try
do.
Try to lead by examples.
Why the film industry begin with the household, not the average Hindi household?
With our daughters.
You will protect you'll put more cops in the street. You will protect your daughters outside. What about the sexual abuse?
Let's begin with the son.
That nobody speaks
let's
about.
Begin with the sons first. 2-year-old son, you start now, 20 years later, at least you'll have a safe society starting today.
I think we have to end with agreeing on this, that it's gone well beyond television shows. It's gone actually to the heart of the matter that has been raised here, that women have been placed on the margins of public discourse and of political discourse. And it's time to stop treating sexual violence as a women's issue, because remember, rape is a weapon of mass control. They're trying to control us. Don't let them. Thank you very much. Thank you.